Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we want to let you know that we do have a website, propheticnews.com, and a YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. And, of course, our radio broadcast every week on Blog Talk Radio. And we're very grateful for that. We have a special guest for you today, Michelle McCumber of Deception Bites. That's her website, a very informative website I think that you would enjoy very much. And we are going to be talking about Rick Joyner. So that should be an interesting topic, and I'll be bringing Michelle on in a few moments here. But, of course, we know that we had a presidential election this week. And maybe your candidate didn't win, but we know that Jesus Christ is on the throne, hallelujah, and God is in control, amen? So God is sovereign, and we have a leader, a fearless leader in the Lord Jesus Christ who will keep us no matter what happens in the governments of this world, because we know God has a government, and his government is a government of righteousness and peace and joy. So don't despair. Whatever happens, we know that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We're here to be the light of the world as far as representing Jesus Christ, and we stand for truth, we stand for justice, we stand for holiness, and we stand on the word of God. So we can take comfort in all that, amen, because we know if anybody reads the book of Revelation, if we know that we are in the end times, so we can expect anything. We have to remember that the Bible promises a time in right before or when the Antichrist comes on the scene that there'll be 3.5 years of great prosperity. So when you notice that someone comes along to rescue the world and we go into this time of giddiness, of great prosperity, and then the devil, he will suck at two people for another 3.5 years, and it'll be a terrible time of tribulation. So we don't put our trust in worldly governments. We put our trust in God Almighty. Amen? So I'm going to bring my guest on, Michelle. Hi.
Hello.
Happy to have you on today. Thank you for coming.
Oh, it's entirely my pleasure.
Yes, and I wanted you to let people know a little bit about your website. How long have you had your site up, and what can they find there?
Well, I've had my website for a number of years. I started it right after I came out of the Dominionist movement, and, you know, the Lord was really opening my eyes to a lot of the deception that was taking place in the church, not just Rick Joyner's church, but subsequently I got involved in a church that was preaching almost rabid Dominionism, and the Lord had, you know, opened my eyes, and I started to really do a lot of research and get into understanding, you know, true biblical doctrine. And as I did that, I became, you know, led to start writing and get the truth out to people. So I started my blog probably about 6 years ago, maybe. I didn't do much for it while I was at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, because I was unable to write about the things that I wanted to write about, but I let it go for a little while. But now I'm kind of back and starting to do some stuff with it and get it. I've got a lot more stuff to add and a lot more research. It's Deception Bites with B-Y-T-E-S. And there's a lot of information on there about Rick Joyner and all sorts of deception, really. So. And I have just switched over my website, actually. I switched it over yesterday. So I'm still populating a lot of articles on there. So people can check back as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Michelle's quite an excellent writer. I think you'll enjoy her articles very much. Very informative. For people that don't know what the Dominionist movement is, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, and there's a lot of ministries that kind of fall in under that umbrella. And it's interesting now because it's starting to get a lot more attention in the mainstream media, Dominionism. And it kind of flew under the radar for many, many years. It's been around for many, many years. But it's a form of, I would say it's a form of Christianity, but it really isn't because it's not the true gospel.
Yeah.
And they believe in complete dominion. They believe that they're going to, you know, take over the governments. They're going to take over all aspects. And there's actually 7 so-called mountains that they talk about in taking over the arts and entertainment and business and, you know, everything, all aspects they want to completely take over. They're very well organized, very networked, and there's a lot of buzzwords, and I've thought recently that I should do an article on some of the buzzwords because, you know, there's things that certain people say that immediately I know, you know, that they're into this.
Yeah,
and
that's a good thing to do, yeah.
And it's kind of hard almost to encapsulate it in, you know, a little soundbite because it's it is so complex, and it embraces, I would say that probably 98% of the churches now have some form of it. And it's interesting because people will say, well, I'm not a Dominionist. But then when you speak to them, everything that they're speaking, everything that they're saying, everything that they're believing is Dominionism. So
yeah.
I think people are not even really aware of it. And it's a very dangerous, dangerous doctrine. Very dangerous. So, yeah, and actually, you know, Rick Joyner falls in under the Dominionist umbrella. So do many of the apostolic, the New Apostolic Reformation. All that falls under Dominionism. People like T.D. Jakes and people like that, that is all Dominionism. That's what they believe. And I think I would encourage your listeners to do some research on their own into that. And, you know, just Google it. And start reading, because there is so much information out there now. People are starting to get very, very vocal about it. And I think that most Christians have no idea even what it is.
Yeah. They don't realize that they've been deceived in that area, because it's sometimes a subtle deception. And
It is subtle. It is very subtle. And I had no idea at all. And it's interesting, I was at Rick Joyner's, and I came out of that, and the Lord brought me out of that, and I realized that that was deception. But unfortunately, because I didn't have a full revelation, I ended up falling back into a church that on the surface was a wonderful church and began, you know, really was preaching the gospel, but it kind of slid down into Dominionism and became much more radical in its beliefs. And I remember feeling somehow that there was something wrong in my Christian life, and I knew that, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was reading my Bible and praying, and I loved the Lord, but I knew something was very wrong. And I remember praying a prayer and just saying, Lord, I don't know, but I feel like there's something, you know, that I might be missing. And if there's any deception in my life, God, if there's any deception, I ask that you would reveal that to me, and that you would show me the truth. And then I added, even if it wrecks my world, and it did.
Yeah,
it,
right.
It definitely did, because
I've been there.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was less than a week really before I, you know, got the answer to that, and it literally was like a, you know, Damascus Road experience, because I was in my study, and the Lord spoke to my spirit so plainly that it wasn't audible, but it sounded audible in my mind, because I was thinking about everything that had been preached to me about us taking dominion and we're going to take over the government, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And,
it all sounds so good.
It does sound good. It almost sounds right.
Yeah.
You know, and there's enough of you know, little crumbs of truth in there to make it cohesive and to make
that's
it believable.
Right.
And it's interesting, because all of a sudden I realized I was thinking about how all these churches were networking together, and all they were all really preaching a cohesive message. And I saw all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, "Well, there is going to be a world church. But it's not going to be mine." And
right.
All of a sudden, you know, it's like all these waves of horror washed over me, because I thought, I'm on the wrong side. You know, it all of a sudden clicked in with me. And I would say that, you know, I began to be, to have my eyes opened very, very quickly after that. It's like I knew at that point that everything I had believed, everything I'd built my life upon all those years was wrong.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it's a rude awakening, but I think that for the most part, I think most Christians were a little naive, and we want to believe the best, and we want to, especially we want to trust people in leadership, which sometimes can be dangerous because they can lead us down the wrong path, but we always
and
have
frequently
to go back.
Do.
Yeah, frequently do. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's the word of God that we base our faith on, and we can trust God's word. We know that we can trust it. And I found out the same thing being in the Word of Faith movement for many years, that my doctrine didn't line up with my Bible. So.
Exactly. And that's a problem.
Yeah, that was a big problem. So I made it a point to take myself out of any type of ministry for a few years and just get my head together. And,
well, yeah, and the thing is, I lost my thought there. I was going to say something, and it's gone. I hate when that happens.
Well, let's get to your testimony about Rick Joyner. How did you become acquainted with Rick Joyner, and how did you manage to get over to North Carolina?
Well, I'm Canadian. I live in the States now. I've been in the States for just going on 16 years. But it started because I was going to a very large Pentecostal church in Canada that was really a mover and shaker in the community, and was very, very active there in music and all sorts of things. And people at that church started going to, I'm sure you remember the Toronto Blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they started going up there, and we would go up on the weekends or whenever. There was always somebody from the church going. It was about a two-hour drive from our church, and we'd go up, and we'd go to service, and then we'd come back. And that's where it started, because the assistant pastor loved him and his wife. They were truly, truly godly people, and loved the Lord, and really began with correct doctrine, which is sad and alarming, because they really were right on in their doctrine to begin with. But they got involved in this, and you know, they were so enthusiastic about it, and they loved Rick Joyner. And of course, Rick Joyner is loosely associated with that bunch. And So they loved Rick Joyner. I mean, they just literally, I've never seen anyone gush over him like that. And we started going up to Toronto, and I started experiencing all those manifestations and so forth. I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And slowly I was...
I never see anything like it again.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not against, you know, the true gifts of the Spirit and
no.
You know, the
truth
flowing.
Oh, no, I'm Pentecostal, but... some people did get saved out of it all, so, yeah, some people truly did get saved, but the manifestations, when you go back to look at it now and you realize some of the things that were manifesting definitely wasn't God.
No, absolutely not. And so that those types of things, because there was a group of us going up there all the time, they called us the river people, so it formed a split in the church.
Oh, yeah, you were
because,
jumping in the river. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so
the
they just dubbed
people.
Us the river people. And there was like a group of us at the church that they called the river people, and a split began to form in the church because between those that were really following biblical doctrine and biblical Christianity and those of us that were just all off in the spirit and partaking in all this cotton candy and fluff.
Yeah.
And so that's how I actually got interested in Rick Joyner, because I'd always had a kind of a bend towards the prophetic, and that was recognized by my pastor.
That's always
and so,
a real tempting, ooh, the prophetic.
Yeah, and so she sent me, or she didn't send it to me, she gave it to me, this dog-eared copy of Rick Joyner's, it was his original thing that he wrote before The Final Quest. It was the, was it The Final Quest? Gosh, it's been so long since I was there, but anyway, it was called The Hordes of Hell Are Marching.
Oh, yes,
and it was his
like
so-called vision, and then he wrote it into, was it? I think it was The Final Quest that he wrote that in.
Final Quest, I think. Now tell me
something.
You remember, and did you ever get the those journals he used to publish? I think.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when I first got those. I guess it was back. Might have been in the late 80s, early 90s. I don't remember when he came on the scene, but I was quite impressed because I had done a little book publishing myself. And those things were very expensive to put out, those magazines. They weren't really magazines. It was more like a book he would send out.
Yeah,
and
the Morning
thought,
Star
wow,
Journal.
Where is this guy? Yeah, the Morning Star Journal. I thought, where is this guy coming from? Because this is expensive, and I never heard of him before. So he had some big money backing him up.
Oh,
it was probably
yes.
The Catholic Church. It was probably the Catholic Church that put him out.
I don't know. It's interesting because he had a lot of big backing, and he had some very, very influential people backing him. One of them was, I'm trying to remember his name. He was a big, big, big wig in Amway.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember his name. I would know it to hear it.
Did they do that over there? Did they get you involved in multi-level
marketing?
No.
Oh. No. That's so much against me. That's just, I've
I'm
never
glad
been involved in anything like
that.
But.
Remember when they had everybody, like, you know, getting everybody whooped up over Amway and all the, trying to get people, pastors were getting people involved in multi-level marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yikes.
But
you thought you were at a revival meeting or something.
Yeah, exactly. And he had this guy literally, I think, poured a lot of money into that ministry. And I know that their offices, they called them the EOB, the Executive Office Building, was originally in the former governor's mansion for North Carolina.
Oh,
and,
really? Wow.
Yeah, and this Amway guy had owned all that property, and there was also a house on there that they called a cabin, which is hysterical to me because it's not a cabin. It's like a mansion. I think it's 9,000 square feet.
Now, this is where Rick Joyner lives?
No, he didn't. Well, he did when he first came to North Carolina, I think he did. But subsequently, interestingly enough, Jim Baker, when he got out of prison, he lived there. Rick Joyner put him up in the so-called cabin, and you'd hear him talk about this
cabin,
this cabin that he had, and it's hysterical.
He said it was a cabin. You know what? Now, that is interesting because now when Jim Baker was in prison, I wrote to him a few times. I have a few letters that I received from him. I have to get those out and look at them again. When he first got out, he went to the Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida, and he preached one of the most dynamic messages. I mean, he was coming against the prosperity mm-hmm. message, and he was preaching the way we think, the way we feel.
Uh-huh.
And then it wasn't long afterwards that he started getting involved with Rick Joyner and that bunch.
Right.
And his whole message started to change. But did he ever come back there? Because we'll get into this whole thing that, of course, Rick Joyner bought the old PTL ruins.
That's
there.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And did Jim Baker ever come there when you were there?
Now, he bought PTL after I had left. And it's interesting because when I first moved to the States, I moved to a little place called Tiga K, which is exactly the place that Jim Baker and Tammy Faye used to live.
Yeah.
And it's just over the border in South Carolina. Actually, North Carolina and South Carolina are right there. And, you know, kind of the southern part of Charlotte is a very big and sprawling city, and part of it actually falls into South Carolina now. I lived there, and I had wanted to find this PTL because I was so fascinated by it, and it was so overgrown and so such a ghost town at the time that I first
horrible.
Thought. And it was absolutely fascinating. I remember walking around in there, and it felt so creepy.
Yeah, it was creepy.
It really was.
Yeah, I was there, I think, in the late 80s or the 90s, way after the Bakers had gone, and then it was purchased by, or taken over, actually probably stolen is the word for it, by Jerry Falwell.
Right.
And then Morris Cirillo was trying to buy it. I was there when he was holding a telethon, and that was one of the most rigged things I ever saw in my life. I actually went there as a volunteer to volunteer for this telethon that Morris Cirillo had, and I actually got up and left during it because it was rigged. And but I remember that place. The hurricane had blown through there, and it was it was like a haunted place.
Yeah, it really was. It was very creepy in there. And there was something, I mean, it was kind of hauntingly beautiful because you could see its former majesty, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just so run down. And a Malaysian company bought it to run the hotel.
Yeah.
And I was actually there on the property the last day that hotel was open. And they were moving everything out. And I guess
do you know what happened with
it went
Malaysian?
Bankrupt.
Uh-oh.
It went bankrupt, and they couldn't make a profit with that hotel. But you know, with all the movers and everything going back and forth, I just walked in like I owned the place, and I just walked around, and no one asked me to leave, and I looked at everything, and it just was the most fascinating thing. But then, and Rick Joyner had been talking about that, and I know that he and Jim Baker, I think, was kind of hoping that somebody would buy that and kind of, you know, turn it back to its, you know, its former past. But Joyner bought that, and I don't know how he ever afforded that, but he bought that, and now he's holding his...
How did he ever afford it? Exactly right.
Exactly.
Except if somebody wasn't funding him, because he is the master of deception.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of
he truly, truly is.
The deception. I posted some pictures, and anybody, actually, if you want to go on YouTube or on the internet, you could put in Knights of Malta and Rick Joyner and see him in his Catholic garb.
Uh-huh.
Standing there with bishops. And which I think, to me, this whole thing, of course, the One World Church the one world government, it will be a part of the Catholic system. We can see it. Why would anybody that's a born-again, a spirit-filled Christian join a paramilitary organization, a secret paramilitary organization of the Catholic Church, which Rick Joyner has done, along with Ricky Skaggs and Mahesh Chabda,
mm-hmm.
and a few others. Now, were you there, or did you witness him or hear him talking about being a member of the
Knights
of Malta?
Yes.
Yeah, so share that with us.
Well, I think that, you know, back, I was there actually when that whole controversy came out, and he was very much defending it. And at that time, I think my mind was just, I was so deceived and so steeped in it that, you know, anything he said, any explanation he gave, you know, no matter how feeble, it was like, oh, well, yes, of course, you know, of course there's nothing wrong with it. But in my spirit, something didn't sit right. He described going over and being in Germany and going into the bunkers of Hitler and having a prayer meeting there, and that while he was there, a man came to find him because he wanted to knight him into the Knights of Malta, and because they had heard about him and read some of his stuff, and they were just so impressed that they wanted to knight him. That's his story.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lot of people actually in that circle being knighted at that time, and they were even all this symbolism and everything that was around the knights, and people were like buying pictures to put on their wall of the knights, and it was just crazy, and I couldn't figure out where this was coming from. Well, he wrote this big defense of them and how godly they were and the godly power.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And
sure, I wouldn't want
he
to be...
defended it all, and so.
Oh.
You know, a lot of people were like, well, okay, if he says it's okay, then I'm sure it is. But in my spirit, I started, you know, there was just something, I thought, well, you know, first of all, I thought, who has a prayer meeting in Hitler's bunker? Why would anybody want to do that?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting because recently, and I am writing a book, and actually this is in that, all his connections to Nazi Germany. It's very interesting. Rick Joyner has some very interesting connections.
He's got some very interesting connections.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody would look at these pictures, and I encourage people to look at the pictures on YouTube, or there's a video of him actually in this Knights of Malta costume. And he actually does an interview with the head of the Knights of Malta on his television program, and they actually play it on something they call God TV, but I'm not sure which God it is. Of course, I am sure which God it is. It's not the God that
not
we
ours.
Know. No,
not
it's
our
not
God.
Our God. So I strongly urge you to resist God TV, because who plays an interview with the heads of the Knights of Malta? This is a secret Catholic military organization. They're into defending the Catholic Church,
yes,
by all means, and making the whole
including
world
death.
Catholic. Pardon?
Including death, defending it at all,
yes,
means including death. And
yes,
it's interesting to note that it was actually the Knights of Malta. They're a very interesting group because they have their own passports. They actually have their own money. And they have observer status with the UN. And so very unusual group. And they actually are very, very important in world politics, more so than people realize. They actually, it was dubbed the Rat Run. They were responsible for spiriting a lot of the former Nazis out of Germany and away from prosecution.
Yeah.
And it was called the Rat Run, and they actually gave them, because they have their own passports and everything, they issued them passports. So, you know, these are not good people. They've been involved in all sorts of things if you actually get into the nuts and bolts of, you know, how they interact politically and in the world. It's alarming.
Yeah, I also posted something, and I'll be talking more about it in the future, from the Pope, And a few years ago, he put out this letter, whatever he puts out, these letters that he has. And he puts out this letter that we have to redistribute the wealth.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, what
yes,
does that
I remember
sound
that.
Like? Does that sound familiar to anybody? Now, why in the world does the Pope talk about the redistribution of wealth? Very, very curious. So you can see this whole thing coming together, this whole one-world government. And I wonder myself, with the Catholic Church being as rich as they are, now the Pope lives in a 11,000-room palace. Now, do you know anybody else that has an 11,000-room palace? I don't. They have their own government. They have their own bank. And I don't notice them redistributing their wealth. But it all sounds so good, doesn't it? Let's take somebody else's money that they worked for and let's give it to somebody else without their permission. It's not a free will offering.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
So.
And that's something you hear a lot of in those circles, too. They say, oh, there's going to be a redistribution of wealth.
Oh,
they talk
really?
About that all
oh,
the time.
Yeah, they talk about that, don't they? The great wealth transfer.
Yeah.
God's going to give the wealth of the sinner to the just. Well, just how is he going to do that? I think.
Well, interestingly enough, think about that, because they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, some of them, their clothing is not even very sheep-like. But so they're saying, oh, yes, God's going to transfer the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the just. Well, they're considering themselves as being the just. And who are they considering being the wicked? Bible-believing Christians. And
anyone that opposes them.
Anyone that opposes them, yes, be they Christian or not. You know, those are the wicked in their eyes,
yeah.
And they are the just. So what they're saying is, yeah, there's going to be a redistribution of wealth. We're going to get it all.
Yeah, well, then how does God do that? The only way I see in the Bible that God does that is if you work. You have to work.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Otherwise, like, what is he going to do? Pour it out of the sky? How do you think you're going to get the wealth? Like, you're going to take somebody else's money that you didn't work for?
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, that's what they want you to believe. Well, that's not going to happen. So
it's craziness. It's interesting too, and I've never really said this publicly, but I will. Rick Joyner is a Luciferian. There's no question about that in my mind, because I know someone that actually was at his house, was very, very familiar with the Joyners, was actually a nanny for them for a number of years, and saw something at their house and brought it, you know, to Julie's attention, because there was a piece of paper that she saw lying on the coffee table, and it was an invitation, a very, very fancy invitation for them to be initiated. This was through the Knights of Malta into the Luciferian light. Well, she saw the word Luciferian, and she became alarmed. And so she said, Julie, what is this? And Julie was like, oh, no, that's not what you're thinking about at all. You know, that's not Lucifer as in Satan. That's, you know, Lucifer as in light. And like, she completely explained it away.
Unbelievable.
But I know this person. I know that they would not make that up at all. And there was another witness that was there as well that saw that piece of paper, and actually Julie was bringing out her gown or whatever to show this person. That, and she lived way up in the mountains in North Carolina at that time, up in a little place called Moravian Falls, a very little place, a whistle stop really. And
we're going to talk.
She had brought this beautiful sequined gown out to show my friend, and my friend was like, where on earth are you going to wear that? I mean, she's way up in the mountains. It looks, you know, looks like something that, you know, all sequined. And so anyway, that's, and, you know, Julie said, oh, it's for that ceremony.
Oh, well, how blind can you be? I mean, how blind can people be? It's so
very
easy. Yeah, very. Now, it's so easy to be deceived. And to see something like that that says Luciferian, and then you want to believe it's something else, because you can't believe that maybe your idol, the person you're worshiping, can have any faults. So that's the reason that God says he doesn't want us to have idols. It's another reason why God says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. We put no trust in human beings, because human beings will let us down all the time. We put our trust in God. But now, how many years were you there affiliated with Rick Joyner?
Actually, I'm trying to think. I moved there the same year that Princess Diana died. And I think that was 97.
Yeah, not and, about 97, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember going to a service, and actually I write about that on my website, which I think would be fascinating for anyone to read, because it's the service that was the new millennium. It was there was a 3-day conference over in the last service of that conference was on New Year's Eve, of 2000. So very interesting service. That was actually one of, if not the, no, it was one of the very last services I ever attended there. So I left just very early in the year 2000.
Okay.
And then I subsequently moved from Charlotte up into Wilkesboro, which is where they were living. And I remember thinking at the time, because I had made a break and I felt, that the Lord had told me not to even step a toe over the threshold of that building ever again. And so I left, but I knew that the Lord was moving me up to Wilkesboro, and I thought, why on earth would the Lord move me up to there, right where he's living? But so I, even though I did brush shoulders with some of the people for a while, I was completely out of that movement, completely and totally out. I made a very clean break.
Yeah. Tell the listeners a little bit about Moravian Falls.
Yeah, that, there's so much there that it's hard to kind of encapsulate that. But Moravian Falls, originally, it's a very small town. It was originally settled by the Moravians. And Count Zinzendorf, he bought a 300 acres, but a huge, huge parcel of land he had up in the mountains in North Carolina. And this place, actually, Moravian Falls, was actually the capital of their publishing industry. And they published a newspaper there called The Morning Star. Now, this is Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians. And so Rick Joyner attached some special spiritual significance to this land. And he wanted to build a prophetic retreat up there. And the way it was described to us, it was like utopia.
Yeah.
And I remember, just staring at him all glassy-eyed, like, oh, that sounds so awesome. Because, all these prophetic people that were so misunderstood, we were all going to go up to the mountains and it was all going to be, we were all going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And, life
glassy-eyed.
Was going to be wonderful.
Yeah, glassy-eyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he would, and he was aggressively fundraising for this and saying,
has been for years.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, there's nothing up there. Nothing. He makes it sound like they have this big, there is nothing up there. I lived there. I know people there. I'm in contact, actually, with people in that area. There's nothing there. I'm actually moved from that area just 3 years ago. So I know what's up there.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. And people call me a liar over that. They'll declare uphill and down because he makes it sound so believable.
He does.
In fact, he almost makes me believe it. And I know that there's nothing up there. And, I'll listen to him sometimes recently.
You
been
believed
doing this
it when
book.
You were there. You believed it.
I
until
did.
You saw
yes,
it for yourself,
I completely
right?
believed it. And finally, I went up there because there was a lodge on that property, which he does not own. The Bazells own that. And I went up because they were having a little woman's retreat. And I went up basically not because of the woman's retreat, but I wanted to see for myself what was up there, and because I was starting to have some major, major questions. And I remember just being dumbfounded because what was there was, you know, huge homes by the Morningstar elite. There was nothing up there that for ministry wise.
Yeah,
like,
he was building
all.
Moravian Falls, all right. He was building those mansions.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah, and you know, and here he would talk about all this stuff, and he talked about that lodge as if they owned it. They did not own it. In fact, I you know, I